Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We'll never have to pay for the sin that we have committed in eternity. Consequences now, of course, but not in eternity. And we will be sons and daughters of God forever because He is our substitute. He is our propitiation. That's God acting through His shed blood. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you and I in Christ can be confident of one thing. You and I will never be forsaken.
The truth is, Jesus was forsaken on the cross so that you wouldn't be. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young wraps up his message, Feeling Forsaken, and shares why you can have confidence that God will never let you go. So stay where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. But before we get to Dr. Young's message, throughout history, a person's final words have mattered because they're the last thing people want you to remember about them. And the last words of Jesus on the cross were especially powerful. Dr. Young wants to share what they were and why they matter to you by sending you his four-message CD series, Famous Last Words. You'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, He spoke words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We'll send you Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Feeling Forsaken, Part 2.
In the fall of man, we read in Romans chapter 1 how there will come a day when there will be a restoration of the earth. And we see here the creation is honoring the Creator by surrounding all the cross with darkness. Now, I've got a question for you. What was going on in the darkness, in the silence? There'd been a lot of racket in the crowd, a motley crowd, a crying crowd, a crucifying crowd, a jeering crowd, a booing crowd. You'd heard the whip, you'd heard the wails, you'd heard the nails, you'd heard the sighs, you'd heard the conversations, you heard the dialogue, all the noise, the clamor of a public execution on a cross, loud. Then all of a sudden, 12 noon, whew, darkness. What was happening? I think this is when the mystery gets even deeper. It is when sin of humanity was transferred to the perfect Son of God. It's when all of our iniquity and grossness and immorality and hypocrisy and phony piousity, it is all the death, the murder, the slander, the slain, the slime was transferred somehow into the Son of God. He drank the cup of hell, and I have a feeling on that cross, wave after wave of trash and garbage flowed into Him. It was dark because God did not want to see what was happening in the perfect Son of Himself. Darkness. And then after 3 hours of darkness, the Bible says there was a shout, a loud shout, and Jesus from the cross says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the lights can come on. Great mystery, the darkness. A greater mystery is the next part of our verse, which is a prayer to God, which is a question. My God, why? It's a prayer. It's the only place in the Bible where Jesus asked God the Father a question. He says, my God, why? Interesting, isn't it? Listen, you cannot question the God of creation. You can't say, God, you know, why did you do this? Why did you put in the first and second law of thermodynamics? God, I don't know the meaning of gravity. You can't question the God of creation. You and I, we can't question the God of the universe. What about that black hole? What about him who just splashes the sky with stars and with a touch of infinity? God, what do you... We can't question that God. You can't question the Epicurean God. You can't question any of the other gods. We have no grounds to ask questions of gods or goddesses. All the myths. We can't say God... But let me tell you who we can question. We can question my God. My God. Maybe the most important word in all of this is my. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I'm his own. The voice I hear as he draws near tells me, oh, we can question my God. And here Jesus questions. He said, my God, why? By the way, in Jesus' ministry, his methodology of teaching was asking questions. Have you noticed that? In the Bible, you rarely, if ever, see an example in which Jesus was asked a question, he simply answered the question. Check me out. Sometimes there's a couple of little possible illustrations. Usually Jesus would, when he was asked a question, he would answer with a question and he would give a parable or a story where the person who asked the question usually backed up and said, uh-oh, we've looked at that. Uh-oh, man, I wish I hadn't asked that. You know, Jesus responded with questions. But here we see the one time in all the scripture, and it is a prayer questioning God. My God. Why? That is a greater mystery than the great mystery of the darkness, but there is a greater mystery yet. That's the rest of our verse. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, you want deep theology? Somebody says, I want to go where they really study the Bible in depth. You can't get deeper than this. God forsaking God. Try that one on for size. My God, why? By the way, why is the toughest question to ask? What? You know, how? When? Where? But why gets the motivation. Why do you do that? Why do you think that? Why do you go? It's our motivation. And by the way, most of us get real shabby in our motivational area. You know what? Think about it. Why? How many things have you and I ever done with no thought of any credit in return? When you start naming those, somebody said, well, I love my mother. No, wait, that was pure motivation. Well, I had to read. Why? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? How can this be? How can it happen? There was a young woman who was standing by her cousin outside their home, and a drive-by came and killed her cousin, dead, man, right on the spot, blood all over her. She was hysterical. And from that time on, for month after month, when she would hear a loud noise, bam, she would fall down in the fetal position and she'd go into panic mode. And she was getting therapy at a clinic. And she went to the cafeteria with her therapist. And somebody in the cafeteria dropped a tray of food pow, with a loud noise, and she fell down in a fetal position, just trembling as a result of that traumatic experience with a drive-by killing of her cousin. And so the therapist took her out in the side room and tried to talk to her, and she said, "I miss my father." And the therapist, trying to calm her down, said, "Well, what is your father's name?" And she said, "Juan." She said, what did you like about your father? Was he kind? Was he funny?" She said, "Yeah, I think so." She said, I want my father." And the therapist said, "Well, your father, what color hair did he have?" And she said, "Black, I think." And she said, I want my father." Only later on did the therapist find out that this young woman had seen her father only one time in her life. Her and her mother had been deserted by him when she was just young. But now, in a moment of extremity, she said, "I want my father. I miss my father." Ladies and gentlemen, there's a father hunger built in every one of us. A father hunger built in every one of us. And here is Jesus, who had had that intimate, personal relationship. He said, "I and my Father are one." He said in John 16, "All of you are going to forsake me, run away from me, scatter and move away." But he said, "My Father will be there." David said, "The Lord God will never forsake you." Whoa. But here we have Jesus being forsaken by Abba. Abba. He had walked in the light of the Shekinah glory in the presence of his Father his entire life. And now suddenly, in his moment of great need, he is forsaken. What in the world is going on here? God forsaking God, the Father forsaking his Son. What's happening? What's happening here? Something that is shrouded by the greatest mystery you can imagine. The greatest mystery ever is this moment in biblical history. What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. God is forsaking his Son so you and I will never be forsaken. Watch how this works. It's a powerful thing. In the sin transfer, Jesus became the sin bearer. And because we have a holy God can never look on sin, can never allow sin, can never tolerate sin, can never pass over sin, because not a stench of sin can ever reach the nostrils of the Almighty in heaven. Therefore, it is God in Jesus Christ is reconciling the world to himself. And to do that, he had to take on all of this sin and be our sin bearer. And he had to experience death, D-E-A-T-H. Now, there's two kinds of death. When the prodigal son came back from the far country, remember? The father said, "This my son who was dead is alive again." Does that mean the prodigal died in the far country and he came back to life when he... No. That was a spiritual death. You see, there is physical death and there is spiritual death. All of us consist of body, soma, spirit, psuche, our spirit and our soul, psuche, our soul, and pneuma, our spirit, body, soma, psuche, spirit, pneuma, spirit, psuche, soul, body, soul, and spirit. We all have all of this in us. Now, the body dies, soma dies. What about the soul, the psuche and the pneuma, the spirit and the soul? What about those two? They die, but that is a spiritual death. You see what happened to the prodigal? He was experiencing spiritual death. Jesus not only had to die on the cross, ladies and gentlemen, a physical death, but also he died a spiritual death in that his soul and his spirit died. And what does it mean for the soul and spirit die? It means for the soul and spirit to be separated from God throughout eternity. That's a total death. Physical death, spiritual death, body death, soul and spirit death. Soul and spirit separated from God for eternity. That's what Jesus experienced. As the Bible says, he went to hell on your behalf and on my behalf, and that's what was that in that cup that he was drinking. Isn't that something? This is what's happening. He had to be forsaken. What does it mean to be forsaken? A ship is a derelict. A ship that's a derelict has no captain, no crew, no cargo, no port of destination, no compass, no power, sails, motor, a derelict ship just exists in nothingness for no purpose. That's what Jesus felt. The cry of dereliction, deserted. Deserted. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you left me by myself? Why have you deserted me? By the way, this is the human Jesus speaking. Somebody has a famous sermon, great homiletician. He compares the death of Socrates with the death of Jesus. And he says the death of Socrates shows us how a philosopher dies, and the death of Jesus shows us how God dies. That is absolutely theologically wrong. It is biblically wrong. Here we see how a human being dies. Not God on that cross, the humanness of Jesus. Now, we have a great mystery here. We know Jesus was totally God, Jesus was totally man. In his life, when was he exercising his divinity? When was he hanging up his divinity and living on the basis of his humanity? We don't know. That's the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of totally God, totally man we find in Jesus Christ. But I believe here we see the humanity of him. And as a human being, Jesus, though perfect man, felt like he was totally deserted by Almighty God, because it had to take place for God to reconcile humanity with himself. Deep water, ladies and gentlemen. But that's the cross of our Lord. All of this took place. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you and I in Christ can be confident of one thing. You and I will never be forsaken. That's right. We'll never have to walk in the darkness. We'll never have to pay for the sin that we have committed in eternity. Consequences now, of course, but not in eternity. And we will be sons and daughters of God forever, because he is our substitute. He is our propitiation. That's God acting through his shed blood. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is the greatest mystery of all. But in the process of Jesus being forsaken is the fact that you and I will never be forsaken. That's the power. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. That is a drawing power of Jesus on that cross. Amazing, amazing. Anybody feel deserted? Anybody feel lonely, maybe in the middle of a crowd? Anybody addicted to something that's controlling your life? And anybody here in pain, whatever it is, whatever the problem, Jesus from that cross, he looks at you, he says, you are my mission. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you now until the end of time, because all of your garbage has been covered by the blood of Christ, and I will be with you forever and forever. You are my mission, says Jesus as he is crucified on that cross.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We have Dr. Young joining us in the studio now. Dr. Young, you said in today's message that the most important word in the phrase, my God, why have you forsaken me, is my. Can you talk about the love that God feels towards us, even to the point of forsaking part of himself?
My is the most important word. My, that's you, that's me, that's personal. It's not any God, it's not another God, it's my God. And we can say my God because of Jesus Christ. People have wandered around since the beginning of time saying, what is God like? What would God have me to do? Oh, I wish I could know God. Listen, God became completely knowable in Jesus Christ. He put on human flesh. He lived among us. And we see that his availability is there for those who receive him, so we can say, my God. Not that we possess him, but that he possesses us. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was that dramatic moment in history when Jesus, in order to take all of our sin upon him, had to be God forsaken. And the fact that Jesus was God forsaken, that made him available so that you and I will never be God forsaken. Because he took all of our sin on himself. Our Heavenly Father, God the Father, cannot look on sin. So how can he deal with you and me as long as we're sinners? And we're all sinners. Oh, but for the fact that Jesus took that upon himself, he was able to say, my God, and be forsaken by God on that cross, so that you and I, because of his substitution for you and me, will never be God forsaken.
That is a great encouragement. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love the chance to help you take new steps in your walk with Christ by sending you Dr. Young's four-message CD series called Famous Last Words. The final words of Jesus on the cross are loaded with wisdom and meaning because they teach us so much about who he is, what he did, and God's incredible love for us. In Famous Last Words, you'll discover that even in Jesus' darkest hours, he spoke powerful words that can be an incredible source of comfort and courage for you. We're excited to send you a copy of Famous Last Words as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young shows you the moving truth of Jesus' last words.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255.